This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. 10 years, Joe. I don't know if you know that, but we're into our 11th year now of doing this. So many episodes. I'm calling what I'm doing, and finally it just hit me the other day and says, you know, we're into episodic education because the content keeps flowing. And especially in the automotive aftermarket radio network, where we produce 7 podcasts a week, and it's all about making us either better leaders or smarter business people and all of life's stuff that gets thrown at us and how we deal with it. Look at everyone, please support our sponsors. We sure do appreciate them. Take your Napa Auto Care Center to the next level with the Napa Auto Care Gold Certified Program. Gold Certified shops, well, they stand out. Build trust and enjoy exclusive benefits designed to drive business growth. Contact your Napa representative today to get started with Gold Certified. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. I'm with Joe Marconi. Hello, Joe.
How you doing, Carm? Always a pleasure being here. Always.
It's so great to have you. I haven't had you on in a while. A former shop owner, elite worldwide coach, and also key lever puller for the Auto Shop Owner, autoshopowner.com. It's a shop management network and resource. I'm subscribed. I'm on it. And I'm looking through some of your posts. And I love the way that you go back and you pop some that you've written a while back. And so Joe writes this article, you know, kind of like the reality of what modern automotive repair is going to be like. And all Joe does is he drops the word specialist in there. And I said, I better send Joe the most recent version of the rise of the specialist. And he read it, double checked that we're online. And I'm thinking, okay, we got to get on and we've got to do a show because this, in my opinion, Joe, we're at a crossroads in our industry. And you brought up so many incredible, if you will, paralleled concepts that I was working on about all of the specialists that exist in the medical field and how we kind of, I'm not saying we thumb our nose, Joe, to what we have to do and the challenges that we have as generalists in our industry, but we're asking our people to know so much about so much.
Too much. You know, when I first started back in the 70s, mid-70s, it was different, a lot different. We all know this. I mean, back then, I always kid around. Back then, we had three things that kept us in business: General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. And you think about it. And the foreign car was not yet as it is known today, you know, the foreign vehicle. You can become very proficient. And back then, we called ourselves mechanics, automotive mechanics. You become very proficient. You know, Ford, General Motors, Chrysler, if you learn one system, you learn them all. And you can become an A-level, what we call back then, a master-level technician or a master-level mechanic. And ASE, when you attain that master level, you are pretty good. This is not 1975 anymore. You know, you fast forward. I mean, if you think about it, can you truly expect even a master-level technician to try to, well, he's going to diagnose a Volvo, check engine light, then jump to a drivability problem on a Honda, then jump to a diesel, you know, maybe a suspension problem on a diesel. It's just different these days. The expectations are way too high.
I was listening to one of Matt Fonslow's podcasts the other day, his 200th he was celebrating.
I know, I saw that. That's amazing.
And Matt was out there explaining that he's got a laptop for Ford and a laptop for GM and a laptop for Audi and a laptop for, and he's got a closet and he has it. I think he controls the heat, the humidity. He's got an unbelievable investment, even though he may buy used and then get it partitioned the way he needs it or wants it. And Matt is trying to be as much of a specialist generalist. Get that, right?
Yeah. And we should listen to Matt Fonslow because he speaks from a different vantage point. And you could be, but if you listen to what he's saying, is becoming a specialist on multi-vehicles, but in one particular area. You know, you can't jump around, and it's too difficult these days.
He's the technologist, as I like to call it, or the technology specialist in the business. And if our owners could stop for a moment and think about the word specialty. And Joe, I want to do a show really bad on where's our future going with specialties. You know, we could think of EV, hybrids, ADAS, and all of those require different kinds of education, some in the case of ADAS, some equipment, some space that say, I got this special space over there for this. And oh, by the way, my technologist, he's got his own bay, his own computers, his own tablet, his own key to the closet. And if you think about undercar and all that's going on with that and the electronics of that all, to have an alignment specialist today is really more of an undercar specialty.
Yeah. And let me touch on that point. And this is what got me thinking too. You know, a number of years ago, when I was still had my repair shops, I hired someone from Greece and he came over and he was an undercar specialist. He specialized in steering suspension problems. So he knew everything there is to know undercar. When I first hired him, though, my mindset was still in the old way of thinking. Well, you have to know everything. You got to be able to diagnose a car, everything. But he proved to me that he was so good. It wasn't a suspension steering problem that he couldn't solve. There was an alignment that he couldn't figure out. And so he knew everything, steering angle sensors, the very beginnings of ADAS back then. He understood that because he was trained in one area. And what that showed me is that you could become very, very good in one particular area, become a specialist, a professional. I eventually changed his status. He became a top-level paid technician or specialist, undercar specialist, because of his proficiency in that area. So just think about that.
Everything I have been saying of late, Joe, on a lot of the podcasts that I've been doing, and I'm driving this P word, P, P. You know, when you say a P word in a microphone, P, P, it's called a plosive. And it's very difficult if you're, you know, recording commercials or doing a podcast not to have a plosive. But the P word in my vernacular of late is the word professional.
There you go.
See? And or professionalism. And for us, top shops, they have no problem with this. They got it. They adopted it. They joined Elite. They got coaching. And they said, how am I going to really be super successful? And I'm sorry, that's the word profit too. The P word is profit, you see. Make a lot of money doing this stuff, bringing my passion, leading people and, you know, being the shop that people know, like, and trust. Joe, I think in your article, part of your talking point was a professional facelift. And that requires a mindset.
It does. You know, we all have an obligation. And if you go back in time, the shops of the 60s, 70s, which I was brought up with, it didn't convey that professional look. And it was not a place where you thought about, let's face it, cleanliness, organization. We've changed through the years. And I give a lot of credit to the shop owners today that are really trying to make that difference. If we're going to get two things, respect and the profit that we deserve, we have to change. We have to keep changing on the same course that we're developing right now in terms of the look of our shops, the professionalism of our service advisors. At the frontage, when you walk into a facility, everything has to just scream at you saying, we are professionals. You know, to your point with the push that you're doing with RISE and changing the terminologies, how we think, that mindset shift is happening. That's why I was so excited to be here today, because we just got to push it a little bit more and keep on the same path. But the image of what we convey to the public is so critical.
That's your point. And I love your point about the image that we create. Even though people aren't waiting today and we don't like waiters to a certain degree, the waiting room still needs to be professional. There needs to be a leather lounge chair in there just in case. But if not, it is really telling my client, hey, if you want to come in here and sit for a few minutes, be on the phone, do a little work, God bless you. We've got a comfortable place for you. But it goes back to what I've talked about in the RISE. Oh, by the way, anybody wants a copy of the RISE, remarkableresults.biz/RISE, pick up a copy of it. Joe, it's almost like you put this article out in 2024 and I was starting to release version one. FYI for everybody, we're at version 23 And here's how it happened is, you know, so many people have picked this up. I always care about what people think, their thoughts to me, karm@remarkableresults.biz. And so much positivity has come back to me. It was, hey, did you think about this? What about this? Here's another title. Here's something else we should do. And all I kept saying is, whoa, this is great. It's become a collective community, if you will, paper. I didn't copyright this. I want everybody to take this and run with it. So it was like our image is so critical. And it's my mechanic or my tech. And part of the argument that I have, and there's a lot of people say, Karm, people have, listen, 90% love it. 10% say, I'm staying right where I am. I love the word tech. That's great. But I see ads for nail salons that they want to hire nail tech and HVAC. And hell, I saw an ad for a Zamboni. It was kind of an ad. It says, hey, look who's driving the Zamboni on the ice this week. Here's our new ice technician.
Technician, yeah.
So we've seen shirts at breweries that say they're beer technicians, and it really should be probably a specialist if they're into hops. So the point that I was making and that you're making also about the word specialist or specialty is how it affects our client, Joe. And the words, every word we say to our client is registered with them. It's thought about by them. They gain confidence from it. And if we just keep using lazy language, it's not going to help the reputation we're trying to create.
We make the parallel to the medical field. Both you and I do this, but it's some people don't like that analogy, but it works. If you think about it, you have radiologists, oncologists, neurologists, cardiologists, and on and on and on. That little gist at the end kind of clarifies what they do. Now, again, I go back to what I said in the very beginning. This is not 1980, not 1975 anymore. There are some people out there that can get to that level, you know, but even the Matt Fonslows of the world, and I give him a lot of credit for what he does. You know, he specializes. Think about it. He is a technology specialist in one area. And to your point, too, when you're talking about the consumer, how to satisfy and take care of your clientele, it really, this whole concept of specialization fits right into that wheelhouse because the business model will change too. The business model has to change. You cannot be, in my opinion, there are very few shops out there. Some claim to be, I will challenge them. I've been in this business for more than half a century. I will challenge because I lived it. To be all makes, all models, all repairs, just the equipment and tools alone and information you need, it just doesn't make sense anymore. It really doesn't.
I want to talk about that here in a minute. But Joe, are we preaching?
Preaching? I hope not. I hope it's not considered preaching.
I've given this keynote so much this year. I'm doing it at ASTA this year. I've got so many other things planned. 3 more speeches in the next month. And I keep getting, you know, it always changes a little bit. And when I'm all done, people line up business cards. We're talking about a lot of neat stuff. And I says, did it feel like I was preaching to you? No, Karm, you're trying to advance the industry. You are passionate about where it needs to be heading. You're talking about professionalism. You're hitting some of us top upside the head because sometimes the answers are right here, but our intuition, our common sense isn't allowing us to see it and then do something with it, which is why in my document, The Rise of the Specialist, on the second last page, there's a implementation chart. Is that, listen, here's what you have to do to make it work. So we're really not preaching. I think we're sharing our passion here.
That's what it is. I'm very passionate. Through the years, I've become very, very passionate about this industry because it's the only industry that I know, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's a lot of things that are really good about this industry. They really are. We help keep America moving. Let's face it. Nothing happens without transportation. So that's what we do. We're part of that. But, you know, if you sidestep the medical field a little bit and go into sports, look at a football team and football players. It's not just a football player. There's quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. There's the linemen. They all specialize in one area. Now, shop owners out there, if you could have your people specialize, your professional specialize in a particular area, they could become better and better and better productivity improves, profits improves, and guess what? Your clientele, your customers will also benefit from that. There's so much with this concept that, again, we need to run with it, push it. I don't like calling it preaching, but we need to share our passion, right?
Now that you know what it takes to become a Napa Gold Auto Care Gold Certified Shop, let's talk about the real value, what you get when you achieve gold. This isn't just about status. It's about tangible benefits that grow your business. Gold Certified Shops receive premium placement on NapaOnline.com at no additional cost. With millions of site visits each year, your shop will be one of the top options consumers see when they search locally. That visibility, it means more cars in your bays. You'll also get $1,500 annually in marketing funds for pre-approved co-branded messaging, helping you connect with your community while benefiting from the national reach of Napa branding. Combine that with preferential referrals, and you've got a powerful marketing advantage. Gold certified status enhances consumer confidence with an extended 36-month, 36,000-mile peace of mind warranty and local labor coverage, proving you stand behind your work. You'll also gain access to award-winning Napa Auto Tech training for technicians and service advisors, helping improve efficiency, reduce comebacks, and support retention. Additional benefits include Napa credit card financing rebates, year-round peak performance promotions, Napa Trax shop management software, SmartSign Pro customer engagement displays, a team tool rebate to invest in your technician's success, and a $300 annual credit toward Master Technician or Blue Seal ASE certification. Gold Certified Membership is designed to help you recruit, retain, and deliver the best experience to every customer. Are you ready to elevate your shop? Contact your local Napa representative today to see if you qualify and start your journey to Gold Certified. Contact your local Napa sales representative today to see if you qualify and start your journey to Gold Certified. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. Napa Trax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. Napa Trax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Napa Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. When I say the word preaching, I always have my tongue firmly implanted in my cheek when I say it, because I always like to incite a riot from people and says, well, what do you mean? You seem to be, you know, almost like pounding on the podium. I says, good, I'm glad you felt that. Because I think to make a major change that we're kind of, you and I are advocating, I really do think it takes a little pressure from the sides to make that happen. When I think about the future of our young people coming in our industry and either doing the college or the high school thing and coming out and maybe getting into an apprentice program somewhere, when I think of a doctor, and I don't know how many years, maybe it's 6 years they have to go to be a doctor. I don't know this. Maybe it's total 10. But there's a point in time where you have to decide as that doctoring student if you're going to specialize.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And again, as we always clamor into the medical world, Joe, and we kind of bring that in and draw some parallels, right? I started to think about the young people coming in and we want to show them career paths. And the specialty stuff that we need really young, great, talented people in, this is a slam dunk.
Oh, just think about this. We complain about the technician shortage. We complain about the employee shortage in our field. If you to specialize and take this and run with this concept, you will open up more opportunities for more people. Yeah, we got to do our part. We got to promote that in the schools and the communities about this is a real life viable opportunity. And also an alternative to afford their 4 or 6 year college degree. But look at the pathways that we could provide by specialization and offering more career paths for more people. Again, it's a no-brainer. I do see apprenticeship programs in the beginning that mimic the same things that the medical field does. You got to learn a lot about all different things, but it comes a point in time where is your pathway going to lead? Will it be towards specialization in technology or undercar or mechanical transmission, whatever it is, you know? But just think about that concept. And I guarantee you, like I said earlier, when you do this, that person can become very, very productive and proficient, which puts a lot of money to the bottom line. And more importantly, helps a lot of people, your clientele, your customers. You will help them in much, much better. It's a win-win all the way around.
You're right on, Joe. When I think about talking to parents at the school level, you said we are so, nothing moves without transportation, and we are transportation. The word is, and COVID laid this on us, essential. We're essential. I look at the trucking industry as essential. I think of the automotive repair as essential. Even automotive manufacturing, is it essential? Because there's probably, enough vehicles out there, be it new and used. If we had to stop everything we were doing like COVID did to us, manufacturing can stop. Not every bit of manufacturing can stop, but to repair the things that we know, provide transportation. So bringing in the young people and explaining them that we're such an essential career choice and we specialize. I'm sorry. That's just like, ooh, gives me goosebumps to think of sitting down with a young person who wants to be a mechanic. And mom and dad don't want you to be a mechanic, but you're gifted this way. You want this. You're going to go for it. There's so many benefits if we as an industry open our arms and embrace it differently than we have in the past.
Well, it is changing somewhat. I mean, look at those few articles in the Wall Street Journal about a year and a half ago, that shows that there are many parents today that they understand that, like in our time, it was go to college, a four-year degree. That's a professional way to go. And that determines your career. I tried college. It wasn't for me. I quit. But nowadays, there are alternatives, and parents understand that working in the trades, whatever that is, maybe that has to be changed too, the terminology trade, but working within, whether it's the automotive field, plumbing, HVAC, whatever it is, it's a respectable field. If you think about it, when you need something done at your house or your business, your facility, whatever it is, you need help from these people, right? You need help. To your point, we are essential. Everyone that works in this type of field, that it is, they're fixing things, repairing things, servicing, whatever it is, it's important to the everyday. Another thing too, if you go back even to Adam Smith's time in The Wealth of Nations, he said that profit is produced by people who produce things, and you have support labor, but the laborer, the person that actually works and produces, that's where it all begins. We've never gained that respect, and it's changing. I guarantee it's changing in the right direction. Again, we just need to push a little bit more.
Thank you for what you just said, because you just fired up my brain. And I'm going to say something I have never said in all these years I've been podcasting and all the speeches that I've given. I say that we're essential. And I've been out there telling people that we are an essential skilled trade. And you just knocked me off with the word trade. And you say, gosh, Carm, that's... So, Joe, I've got the word. You ready? Essential skilled occupation.
There you go. Yeah. Much better than trade.
We're an ESO. It's essential skilled occupation. That's what they're going to school for. That's what they're being continued educated. That's why we send them to classes from all the great training companies in our industry. We're improving their knowledge base in the occupation that they hold. In fact, Joe, there's an awful lot of money to be made in this occupation.
Absolutely. There really is.
Oh my God. And I've seen shop owners, they've sent me, Carm, I've got a brand new plan. It's a salary plus, and we're doing a modified flat rate. The money to be made at top shops is off the charts. And I'm excited. I'm just so excited for it. But I just think I read an article. It was, we need, by 2027 or something like that, we may need 1 million people at the front lines to be able to fix everything. So look, let's move over to the whole specialty thing. We're talking about being specialists, and we're talking about being a specialty shop. Joe, I understand rural would really struggle with that, But think about the 8 or 10 bay operation, that they want to be a generalist, but they also want to specialize. So you could have 2 bays for HVAC or thermo, you know, management. You could have, you know, a bay for ADAS. You could have a couple of bays for technologists that are working on the high level computer stuff. You can have a couple of bays, and you could have 3 or 4 more bays for the Euro stuff. Think about it. You go to a Euro shop, you get one person who's, say, an Audi specialist, and they can do everything on that vehicle. When we look at generalizing in our general stores, then we've got people that are, you know, you need to know HVAC under car, you need to know brakes, you need to know computers, you need to know all of this stuff. Why don't we segment inside of our own businesses, and instead of putting these generalists to work in the bays, let's fragment their area of expertise, give them all the training and the tooling that we can, so that when someone comes to our place, we can say that our undercar specialist will be all over this ride, this pull, this bump that you have, no matter if it's a Mercedes or if it's a Ford.
Yes, I agree with that. But you will find also, you know, you will find also shops that are going to define their business model in terms of their area, profile customer, and also what they want to offer to their clientele. In other words, what type of services and repairs. Sometimes being too big and trying to specialize in too many areas, it may backfire. Unless you have the right specialists in that area, it may backfire in a way. So in other words, in my model, when I was running a business, I looked at the trend that was happening. And in order to remain very, very proficient in areas, because I have multiple locations, I started to say to myself, if I can become very, very good in these areas, on these cars, with this clientele, it makes a lot of sense to me. Plus, I'm not asking my technicians to work on a BMW today, and the next BMW, we're not going to see until 1.5 years from now. It's just too difficult. So I think that in terms of where we're going with this, it really depends on the shop owner, the area, and the understanding the profile customer, the profile vehicles, and also determining what areas do you want to specialize in, and then going for it, just going for it.
Look, you're spot on, but I can listen and hear the argument right now to that, okay? And I'm all for that. I get that. But when we design our Google ads and the people that we're looking for and all of this, if you will, focused, I know we can narrow if we have to. But I think about the word convenience, and I think of the word key dropper. And that is that some loyal customer who has trusted you forever, you're changing your business model a little bit, you see. But Joe, fix it. Keys on the table. Go. Call me when it's done. It doesn't matter how much it costs. You know, I'll pay for it through text, however it is. And you're going to say to that loyal customer, I don't do that anymore. And I'm worried about someone saying, okay, well, then I'll go find a shop that will. Because the industry is not going to move fast enough into this specialty zone or style. That's why my idea of having a 10-bay place with specialists all over the place, I can still get the key dropper coming in and we can handle it. That's my only thought. I completely agree with you. I worry that if we don't do this fast enough and we do it nice and slow, we're going to lose business.
I know where you're going with that. I understand that. But my worry is that if you try, in other words, if you're an Asian domestic shop, you're working Hondas, Nissans, Toyotas, Chevrolet, Ford, Chrysler, and then all of a sudden a customer comes in with this Maserati, let's say, and it's been, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm not going to say no to that customer, but I will think real hard to tool up for this Mercedes, this Porsche. Is that a best decision to make for the long term? Now, I don't want to lose that customer. That customer's a legacy customer for 10, 15 years. I get all that, Carm. I do. But I have to ask myself, if I make that decision, that has to be the shop owner's decision, because then I'm all in. So I say, Carm, I know you bought this Mercedes now. Good. You're going to remain my customer because you've been loyal. You're a key dropper, and I want those key droppers. That's a decision that I want the shop owners to make. All I'm saying, Carm, is that I don't want a shop owner to think and believe that they can or should be all makes, all models, all areas of automotive, because you're going to invest a lot of money and a lot of time, a lot of effort, and you're going to water down what you're doing. You really are. If you want to make that investment, that's your decision to make. But understand that that investment comes with some sort of due diligence, training, education, and also an investment. I hope that makes sense, Carm.
It does. Part of my think, Joe, based on what I just heard you say, was be the best at something or a line or some level of technology. Because listen, if you start to think about all the technology on the vehicle, and we have a technology specialist like Matt Fonslow, and something brand new comes out, we got to send him to school and buy a whole bunch of neat new equipment. Or will a new piece of technology, like the heat pumps example, this whole thermal management thing, should we really carve out a specialty for that and just go out and tell the world, this is what we can do now?
Well, a couple of things, Carmen. You know, through the years, I have my accountant, my doctor, my attorney, and sometimes you go to these professionals and you say, I need help with this. They go, okay, we don't specialize in that. Let me direct you to this person, right? Your doctor does it, your accountant does it, your attorney, all the professionals, your dentist sometimes. Look, I had a problem with a tooth and they said, well, we don't do that. So what I did and what my feeling was, the same as I would say, we don't do transmissions, we don't do major engine repair, but I will get it done for you. Body shop, collision work, I will get it done for you. I want to be that first call. I really, again, this was my decision. I'm just putting it out there. When you specialize, when you understand your business model and your profile customers and what you want to offer to your clientele, you become better and better and more productive at that. Don't say no. Just say, no, Carm, we don't take care of that Mercedes. Goodbye. No, I'm going to help you. Either I'm going to tool up for it and you still become my customer, or I'm going to find a way to get that car serviced.
Well said. We want to manage your transportation, so we'll do whatever we have to do. It's either going to be in-house or we're going to send it out, but you're still going to drop your keys.
You're still going to call me, yes.
You're still going to call Joe. Call Joe. Joe, how about one thing that we don't know about you? I don't know. Is there just one thing we don't know about Joe Marconi?
I don't know. Former shop owner, 41 years, started as a mechanic back then. That's what we call ourselves.
Got any grandkids?
I have 5 grandkids, 3 in California. My 2 boys are out there. I have 2 granddaughters in New York from the Bronx. How's that? And everybody knows that. They can tell by the way I speak, right? And I'm from the Bronx.
The Bronx.
Let me see.
Arthur Avenue in the Bronx.
Arthur Avenue. Yeah, I'm going down there next week. Yeah. Love the Arthur Avenue. Let me see. I love woodworking. How's that?
Joe's a woodworker. Oh my, Joe. Did you carve that?
Carved that 58 Corvette.
Oh my. That is just beautiful. Oof.
So that's something that people don't realize what I do.
Wow, that probably takes the stress away.
Yeah, I go down to my little workshop and turn the music on and life is good. Yeah.
I so enjoy this. Do you think we changed any minds out there?
I hope so. You know, let me just bring one more point up about and getting back to the business model, because this is something that we need to maybe have another podcast on, the business model, how to really define your business model. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. When I first started my repair shop, I mirrored what I was doing in the 70s. So I opened up 1980 and I rebuilt transmissions myself, engines myself, rear differentials. I did everything in-house to a point where by 1989, 1990, I have no business. I'm not making any money, because when you spread yourself too thin, when you try to be all things to all people, all makes, all models, it didn't matter to me. I had people bring me their boats. They used to bring their boats. Now, this is why I have the utmost respect for the people in this industry. They will find a way to fix it. They will find it. But at what cost? So the world today has moved forward to a point where we are professionals. And the shop owner needs to understand that he or she has to remove themselves from the day-to-day. But that means they got to put people in place that if you're going to have respect for them and they're going to have respect for you, you've got to give them a career path. This is a way. Specialization is a way to give them the career path. You'll become more productive. You'll earn profits to the bottom line will be better. And you'll have a much happier customer base, because the overall experience for the customer and for the employees is going to be better. So I just want to make sure that we understand that the business model is also, when you look at the terminologies and we're trying to do with the world of technicians and change that to technologists or specialists, we also have to look at the business model. It goes hand in hand. Make sense?
And I believe if we would sit down with 100 mechanics or technicians and we made this sincere presentation to them, I think as much as I like to be called a tech, I like to be called a technician because it's easy. It flows off the tongue. It's just happenstance. It's just there. But deep inside, yeah, I am a specialist in what I do. Educating myself, and I've been studying myself, and I've been building a network myself, and I've been getting the right tools so that I can specialize in, and I don't care if it's a segment of our industry or it's all makes, all models, it's a generalist. And I think people would be proud and have been because, hell, I've got owners send me their business cards for their new people with the word, you know, that they're technology specialists or technologists. And to your point, we're so aligned, and I hope that this will help some people that maybe have heard me speak or have heard some podcasts that I've done on the rise of the specialist, well, maybe about a year ago. If you want your copy of it on my website, remarkableresults.biz/rise, and get your copy and read it and let me know what you think of it, because it's pretty darn powerful on how I set it up. And it has charts in it, and it says, here's all the current language or titles that we have, and here's some suggestions for new. We even go as far as, what do you call, you know, is estimates and labor and all those redundant words, you know. We have to do an ADAS on your car, and they say, oh, okay, I trust you. They have no idea what the hell an ADAS is. Anyway, but how about this? I'm going to give this to my calibration specialist so we can bring your car back up to OE specs. Hello? Well, that was a warm, fuzzy feeling that you gave your client. And so there's power to words, and I think we need to stop being lazy when it comes to that and embrace this. So Joe Marconi, Elite Worldwide, former shop owner with all these years of great experience, a wood carver and auto shop owner, the Shop Management Network resource at autoshopowner.com. Joe, as always, thank you, man. We got to come back and talk about the business model, okay?
We can. That'd be great. I really would love to. Thank you, Carl. This has been great.
Love to have that. Thanks, man. Bye.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.